Boy, what will 2018 hold? Well, if anybody wanted to predict the future, I wouldn't listen to them because I just really don't think that anybody can tell us what's going to happen in the new year. But I would just about bet that we're going to have some awesome opportunities in the new year. Sure, we're going to have some difficult times because that's part of being a human, is you're going to have some difficult times. But we're also going to have some opportunities. And I don't want us to miss those opportunities when they come along. So when the opportunities come along, how are we supposed to view them? How are we best to try to figure them out or to make them part of our own? Well, I, for one, would like to go somebody a little bit smarter. Well, let's just say a whole lot smarter than me. And I would like to ask the one who created us. Okay? So, James also thought this, and we're going to go to the book of James, and we're going to walk ourselves through the book of James. But today is just a bit of an introduction and to connect with a few other things to lay a good solid foundation for our study in James. If you know anything about James, he's easy to understand. And oh, sometimes he is easy to understand. Yeah, he does get to the point, but that's all right, you know. We should be able to handle that. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful that we can begin a new year. Thank you for the blessings of the new year. Thank you for health this year so far. Father, we do ask for continued health throughout the year. And then also something we probably don't pray for all that often is spiritual health. Spiritual health is approached in quite a different way. And I think as we go through the book of James, James is going to give us some insight on how to be stronger in our spiritual life and to deal with some things in our lives that perhaps need to be dealt with. So, Father, help us as we go through this study and to understand the opportunities that we're going to have in the new year and how to deal with them. Open our eyes, Lord, as we look at the book of James. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we're going to read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. And the first one is one of the most difficult things I can imagine. Let me read it to you. He says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds." Now, how do you do that? When you're having a hard time, how do you count it joyful? Anybody have a clue? That's exactly right. You've got to look at the end of it. And James goes on to say that. Verse number 3, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing." How many wants that? Well, let's look at those words and kind of break them down. Steadfastness means patience or endurance. Let me ask this, I'll probably ask it 100 times. How many needs help with your patience? Remember what the Bible says, how to gain patience? I'll say it in the good King James English, tribulation worketh patience. So difficult times, actually, they're blessings for us. And if we really want to benefit from the difficult times, we've got to get our head around that. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been to the gym. You could tell that. But I remember when I would get my dumbbells down on my workout bench. I still have the dumbbells. They look good in the corner. And you know, you start working out and you go through, several repetitions of, 2.5 kilos. Well, that didn't bother me too much. The 10 kilos apiece. Well, I could feel that. 15 kilos. Well, we're still going. By the time I reached the 25 kilos, one on each arm, I felt that for 3 or 4 days afterwards. But if you keep working at it and working at it and working at it, it gets easier and easier, and your muscles begin getting stronger and stronger, but you benefit it from the workout. But oh, was it painful to begin with? Tribulation works patience. Exercise works muscles. So difficult, painful times brings opportunity. We've got to get our heads around that. Always say, if you got a problem, don't look at the problem, look at the possibility. And that's the way we as Christians are supposed to look at problems. Sometimes when a problem hits, many of us go, oh me, don't we? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Anybody felt like that before? Folks, it's not a real Christian attitude to have. We need to understand that sometimes our greatest potential will come through difficult times. But how do we get from the difficulty to the possibility? How do we do it? Well, I don't know. But I know somebody who does. And James gives us insight into that. Look at verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let's stop. Anybody here lacks wisdom? As often. Boy, I need more wisdom. If you want to find out how valuable wisdom is, go back to Psalms and Proverbs and you can see the huge value of wisdom and understanding. And I need wisdom, particularly as difficult times comes. You need wisdom how to get through it. And James says, if you lack wisdom, let that person ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And it repeats it, and it will be given to him. So do you want wisdom? Asking. And you know what the promise is? If you ask, he'll give it. You may not like what he says. But if you ask for wisdom, he's going to give it. And then we won't get into that this week. That'll be next week. But he says, and anybody who asks and doesn't apply it, you're kind of unstable moving around, you know. And sometimes we all feel a little unstable. But I think the reason we do is because we don't apply the wisdom that God gives us. So if we want to be spiritually strong in the new year, we're going to have to start doing what God tells us to do. So, patience, perfection, completeness. It's a good list. I want that, don't you? But that only comes from difficult times. You still want it. Okay? And like I said, we'll talk about that more later on. Let's look at that again. James says, if we do not have the wisdom necessary, then ask God for it and he will give it to you. This God, what about God? Can we trust him? I know in a Christian community, that's just kind of a throw-off question. But God is being attacked in our culture more than just about anything else. Matter of fact, as far as the culture is concerned, God's losing ground. You know, so there's not a lot of people's going to have a high view of God. And sometimes we, even as Christians, our view of God begins to get smaller and smaller and smaller. We'll say, well, you know, I know he's holy, but he wouldn't mind if I, you fill in the blank. Or God's the creator and he gives life to everything, but he won't say anything if I go this direction. Our view of God gets lower and lower as we adapt to our culture. I've said this quote before, but A.W. Tozer said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." I'll say that again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So, as a follower of Jesus Christ in 2018, your personal view of God will dictate your spiritual success. I'm going to say it again. As a follower of Jesus in the new year, 2018, your personal view of God will dictate your spiritual success. You have to have a pretty high view of God. So do you really trust Him? I'm going to test you. Do you really trust Him? If things are going perfectly smoothly, will you trust Him? If you run face into tragedy in the new year, will you still trust Him? If you experience overwhelming success in the new year, will you still give Him glory and trust Him? One of the most dangerous places to lose your faith is when you're extremely successful. And we can see that in the Australian culture, very affluent society. And the richer people get, the more they don't need God. And you can see that theme repeated over and over and over in the New Testament. So folks, we need to be careful if we are extremely successful or comfortable, because we lose our view of our need for God. So will you trust Him regardless of the circumstances that come up? You will be tested on that in the new year, and I will be tested on that in the new year. How will we respond? Well, is there anybody in the Bible that we can look at to gain a proper perspective of who God is? Maybe somebody that can give us some insight. Well, I want to go back and look at a man that lived about 3,000 years ago. And he started following God as a young boy. His name was David. I'm going to read to you some of the things that David said that kind of gives us a snapshot into his view of God. Psalm 63:1. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So David shows his view of God by saying, my heart longs for You, Lord. I want to be with You. I want to hear You. I want to know what You want. So David is a good person to find out, just can we trust this God? We're asking for wisdom. And then David goes on and he says, because of his understanding of God, he will praise Him with his lips. He will bless Him and honor Him with his life, and he will live satisfied with God. Because David understood that the wisdom of God proves His loving kindness. So it appears that perhaps we can trust this God. And I believe the key to our success in the new year is to have a complete, without hesitation, trust in God. Complete, say this with me, complete, without hesitation, trust in God. Now, there's a few things that you can do that you already practice that. Whenever you go over and you flip a light switch, what do you expect to happen? If you paid your power bill. Yeah, if the light bulb, yeah, that's true. If you go to the refrigerator, if you bought groceries, there's going to be some food in there, right? So there's a few things that we do, we just trust they're going to happen. Do we trust God to step in and give us wisdom regardless of what happens to the point like we trust the light switch? Do we know He will respond? Well, I think David knew this, and he learned that from a very, very young age. So I want to look at David just a little bit. A couple of things to note. As a young man, his life was free of distractions. He didn't have the TV. He didn't have social media. Probably didn't have an iPhone. He didn't even have Christian writers writing their books, telling them everything to fix their life. You know what he had? He had his faith in God. And there's something else that he had. He had plenty of time in the bush. It's kind of important. What do you get in the bush besides mosquitoes? I mean, no. What do you get when you're out in the bush by yourself? Peace. Quiet. You don't have this constant noise ringing in your ear. Unless it's the car. There was a lot of comments there. Maybe I shouldn't have said, I don't know. Yeah. But you see, David had a lot of time in the bush, and he had he was a shepherd boy, and he spent long hours watching his father's flock with no one else around. He had time to think. And as a boy, he had one responsibility, and that was to look after the sheep. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to be able to focus on one thing? It's hard to do in our culture. He had a focus on his one job. It was quiet and peaceful, but it wasn't always quiet and peaceful. There were some times that this teenage boy faced some life and death struggles. Something that maybe we haven't experienced, but he faced life and death struggles as a teenage boy. One day when he was talking to King Saul, he explained what he went through. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant, speaking of himself, used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I ran and ran and no. This is what he says. I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. A teenage boy. A bear and a lion. I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose up against me, keep this picture in your mind, a lion or bear. If he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And lion happens to be plural. How's that for a teenage boy? But keep in mind, he had one job. He didn't have much. He had one job. He had his confidence in God, and he had his experience as a teenage boy. Kind of flies in the face of our expectations today, doesn't it? This David that did so much, he started life with his confidence in God, really the only thing he had, and he did great things as a teenage boy. Never underestimate the teenagers. Never underestimate the teenagers. You don't... Okay. All right. Mary was a teenager. The guy that started the Welsh revival was a young single man and a bunch of teenagers. Never underestimate them. But David, he had a job, one job, his confidence in God, in his experiences. And I think if our teenagers, there's not many around here today, if our teenagers had a real experience with God, they wouldn't need all the stuff we throw at them to make them happy today. But one of the first steps in our teenagers having an experience of God, parents, this is for you. Our teenagers needs an example of someone who's having an experience with God. A real experience. Amen. But there's one other thing that David did, and you know the story. Let me tell it to you real quickly. One day the military of Israel was being made fun of. The Jewish army was on one hill, and the Philistines were on the other. And they stood there looking at each other, and this big giant guy by the name of Goliath comes out making fun of the Jews and hollering and screaming and said, "Listen, I'm going to beat you. Send somebody out to fight me. And if I win, you're our servants. If he wins, then you're going to be our servants. So send somebody out to fight me." And all the Jewish military men, including Saul, who was a head taller than me, were shaking in their boots. And then David, as a teenage boy, comes along and he says, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is defying the armies of the Lord? Who does this guy think he is?" And David's brothers looked at him and said, "Boy, just go back to your sheep. Shows you don't listen to your family sometimes. You don't listen to the outsider sometimes." He said, "Go back to your sheep." And David said, "Is there not a cause?" So he goes up and talks to Saul. And everybody thinks he's crazy. And this is what David says in our English. He said, "Listen, Saul, don't worry about the Philistine. I'm going to take care of him." There's so much more there, but I won't get into it. All he had was his faith in God. In his experiences as a teenage boy, as a shepherd, and he added something to his arsenal, 5 smooth stones. Kind of simplistic, isn't it? And he runs straight for Goliath. Teenage boy, he's got to be crazy. Crazy. He's a lunatic, but he screwed onto the right boat. All right, he's running, and Goliath is making fun of him. And Goliath says, "Who is this mere child running out to me?" And David just keeps on running, and he stops, and all of a sudden, and then, can you imagine the Philistines? All he had was his faith in God and his experiences as a shepherd boy. So does it sound like David could speak knowledgeably about the wisdom of God? It sure sounds that way to me. And then he says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Not only that, Lord, but my soul, it longs and thirsts after you. My flesh faints for you, as if I was in a dry and weary land with no water. Lord, I need you." That was David's words. It's no wonder that David didn't need anything else, because his faith in God was so strong. Are you getting some insights in how to handle things in the new year? There is something else that David wrote, Psalms 46. Perhaps you're familiar with that. And I'll read the first 3 verses. "God is our refuge and strength." And you can complete that a bit. "A very present help in trouble." He is the place that we can run to and hide when necessary. And you know, the one thing about this, he was writing that under pressure. And he said, you, God, is our refuge and strength. Therefore, listen, this is for 2018. Therefore, we will not fear. It doesn't matter what's coming. If our faith in God is strong, we don't have to fear. He continues, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, we don't have to fear. But then we get frightened and nervous and scared when things happen. Don't do it, Christian. Keep your confidence in God. A little later on in Psalms 46, David gives us some more good advice. He says, be still and know that I am God. You know what he means when he says, be still? Charles Swindoll helped me out with this one this week. He didn't know it, but he helped me. Be still means to stop. Stop trying. Stop pushing. Stop agonizing. Stop fretting. Stop. Just stop. Just stop. And know that I am God. And then he says, I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. When God's people put their confidence in God, then God alone is exalted and praised. You see a way forward in the new year? So how are we going to view God in the new year? Again, remember what A.W. Tozer said. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Is he a small, weak God? Or is he a huge God, the creator of everything and the sustainer of everything that breathes? Can he be trusted? If he can't, the words of James make a lot of sense. Let me read them to you again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. We know God is dependable. David knew it. Paul knew it. All the apostles wrote it. Christians down through the centuries knew it, lived it. And as we move into the new year, we need to make a decision that as we move through this year, regardless of what happens, we will trust the wisdom that God gives us. You think that's a good decision to make? Well, as we move through the book of James, we'll let James help us along that road, okay? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we can receive from it. Thank you for its clarity. We thank you for men like David that as a teenage boy had nothing but his experiences as a shepherd and his faith and confidence in you. May we follow his example and long for you, because you say, if we will seek you, you will draw close to us. So in the new year, help us to do that. So, Father, thank you for your word and the challenge you've given us for today. Thank you for the opportunities that you're going to present in the future. Thank you for the courage and the power to move through the difficulties and to turn problems into possibilities.
Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Have a wonderful week. See you next week.